No mood. But why is it such a happy day? All we talked about is darkness. Why would God put on flesh and come to suffer in this way? He knew it was going to happen. Why would God give his own life? And the answer comes in a verse that you might be familiar with. At one time was the most famous verse in the world. Everybody knew it, and it's not anymore. The answer to why God would do it is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's an important word in this verse that often we don't focus on, because we like to talk about the love of God and the coming of the Son, incredible parts of that verse. But that verse mentions also the reason he came. He came to rescue us from what we deserve. He desired that no man should perish. See, the problem was already here. The law that came in the Old Testament exposed the problem, and that problem is sin. The breaking of God's law, the abandoning of the purpose for which God created us, the forsaking of his image that he created us in. And Scripture is real clear in Romans 3:10. It says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No matter how good you think you are, you ain't righteous. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's why God came. See, the bad news, each one of us have earned death. We deserve to perish. We've sinned against the holy God. We neglected his purpose. We departed his image, his holiness, his character. And so we deserve to die. What does that mean? To die means to be separated. We're familiar with separation from the body, but what we see in Scripture is separation from God, for God is life. That's what we deserve. The good news, God don't want us to have what we deserve. Amen? God don't want us to have what we deserve. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is, and he goes on to say, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord does not want that any should perish. God don't want you to receive what you deserve. God, the God who created us, he loves us, for God so loved the world. He doesn't want us to be separated from him. So he planned this ugly, dirty, violent act of first off putting on flesh and then coming to earth to receive what you and I deserve. In Romans 6:23, it finishes saying, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God came to earth with flesh to give us what we don't deserve, to receive upon himself what we do deserve, to trade your sins for his righteousness. Why? For God so loved the world. See, we spoke of the suffering he endured a little bit during the Holy Week, and let's look at the biggest event to ever take place. If you open to Matthew 28 with me, if you have your Bible, the biggest event to ever take place, and again, the most exciting thing to ever happen is the Messiah, God himself, incarnate, coming to earth to offer salvation, was crucified. And then he resurrected. And yet there's going to be one day greater when he's going to come back and cleanse the world. In Matthew 28, we're going to start in the first verse. It says this, and after Christ was buried, it says this, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And it departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. Lord, I ask you, give me the word to say that we can be encouraged, but also see our command. Have your way in each one of our lives, Lord, that we would search out our salvation today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you think about the small passage here, and I don't plan on being long, it depends on how fast you can listen. These ladies that are just approaching the sepulcher were probably already scared, already shook. And think about what they just witnessed. They witnessed their Lord, their friend, their leader be brutally killed. Brutally. Hours of torture. Then hours of hanging on a cross. And then as if that was enough, they had to stab him again at the end. Then they're approaching a cemetery. They're probably weeping as you and I do when we visit the fresh grave of a loved one with those memories going through the head and things you want to say to them again. There's probably weeping going on. And their plan was to anoint the body with special spices to keep it from stinking and rotting in the same fashion. As it is, that's creepy enough. Some people are scared to go to the cemetery at night. You put yourself in these little ladies' footsteps here. Already shaken and scared. Now think about this. Now they felt an earthquake. It says the earth shook. Would you be a little more scared? We had the alarms go off this week. Tornado alarms. Anybody change their britches? Yeah. The alarm's like 20 feet outside my window. I know when it goes off. Okay? But you lay yourself in these ladies' shoes. The angel at the tomb just adds to it. Imagine what they're seeing here. It says the angel's face was like lightning. It was bright. Why? Because they come from the presence of God. And then not only that, now the angel speaks to them. It's like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. This was enough for these Roman soldiers to faint, the scripture says. They felt like dead men. These are trained fighters. Their life depends on this tomb, because if that body gets stolen, they can be killed. And yet, when that angel spoke, they're like, yeah. And yet, what these ladies do when the angel spoke? They listen. They listen. And I want to break down this conversation quickly today. First thing we see is the angel's message. In verse 5, they say, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. The one that was just crucified. The one that was just killed. The one you love. The one you follow. The one you serve. And the angel says, I got some good news. A little paraphrasing going on here. I got some good news, kind of some good news. Because understand what the angel's about to do for you and I, he's going to walk through the gospel. He looks at him and says, that guy you're looking for, that Jesus, that was just crucified, he's not here. He's not here. Here's a new fear that come to him. What happened? The body been stolen? Has it been hidden from us? What's going on? Now, put yourself in this predicament. Think about what's been going on. Satan has always tried to stop the work of Jesus Christ. First, Satan tried to stop the lineage of Christ and destroy the Jewish nation who Christ was supposed to come through. He tried to stop the birth of Jesus and killing many babies. And now he thinks he succeeded because he killed Christ himself. And so the ladies are like, well, he's not here. What has happened? But the angel clarifies a little bit there in verse 6. He's not here because why? He's not here because why? He's risen. He is risen. And he goes on, not only is he risen, what does he say right after that? As he said. He said he has done exactly what he promised. He has risen from the dead just like he told you you would. And you didn't understand. See, the word of God never fails. Jesus has defeated death. On the cross, he paid for the sin, and from the grave, he defeated the power of death. He gave life to man at the creation by breathing it into man, giving him the spirit. And when the man fallen into sin and was separated, his spirit was dead. Jesus Christ at the cross says, I can give you life again. That should be a relief to you and I. Because of his resurrection, you and I too can have that. We can have eternal life through him. And he offers this to us. If you remember John 3:16, it says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What's the one thing he requires? Believe. Believe. That should excite us, give us hope. Even though we have sinned, even though we have earned death, we earned perishing, he says, I don't want you to have that. So the angel first off gives the message. Then he gives an invitation. Notice in verse 6, the angel says to him, come and see. Come in here, see where his body was laying. You can see what he was wrapped in. So he invited these ladies to be a part of what happened, to make this event personal, to see and trust for themselves. Now eventually, a little bit later in the story, as the ladies go back and tell him, a race occurs between Peter and John. And they have a race to the tomb, and John is a little skinny dude, so he wins. He gets there first, but he stood outside the door because he was scared, and he peeked in. Peter was built more like a man, so he was slower. He got there second, but he also wasn't real bright. He didn't think things, and he went right into the tomb. He just ran right in, entering that tomb. And John 20, verse 8 says, he saw and believed. Well, he was already a follower of Christ. He already believed. But you know what happened? Making it personal increased his faith to know Christ. It excited him to now live by faith. Maybe at that moment, as John and Peter see the body, they start to remember, you remember when Jesus said? Because you know what? Just before he entered Jerusalem, he told the apostles what was going to happen. And the scripture says they didn't understand. I've been right here in the tomb. They're like, you remember? And their faith is growing. You know what happens when you go from being under mama's faith and daddy's faith and doing what the pastor says and you start making faith your own? You start growing in God's word. You start letting him transform you, and you start making your relationship with him personal, your obedience to him personal. No one else needs to see that I'm doing for him. I just do it. As we start to love and we start to walk by faith and we start to trust all the promises of God because of what he established and the promises we've already seen. That's why John and Peter are known for have given their lives for Christ. They were what we call martyrs of the faith. They were killed for preaching and teaching Jesus. Why? It was personal. Each of us are given this invitation to come unto me. Jesus gives us the same invitation many times in Scripture. A few of them is when he's speaking about being thirsty. He says, come to me as he's the living water. He says, if my Father calls you, he says, come unto me. If you're tired of religion, trying to be good on your own, you get to the point, finally you realize you're unable to, he says, come unto me. He says, I've done the work. I'll place you in the right standing before a holy God. I'll give you a power to do the work, to be obedient. The invitation to make Jesus personal has been given. Don't let this just be a holiday or just a religious tradition that we got to go to church. Make it personal. Come and see. Know him for yourself. Study his word. Humble yourself in prayer. Let him work in your life. So the angel says, come and see. But here's the thing. The angel didn't stop there. Because you and I aren't supposed to stop there. When you come and see, we're going to see here the angel gives a command. When you personally know Christ and his power, now that you have witnessed what he has done, now that you've been comforted by him, you now, let me, have a great responsibility. Have you placed faith in Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior, your Lord, your God? You have a great responsibility he has sent you out with. You notice in verse 7 what the angel told him to do. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell. Now that you're personally involved with Christ, you know the Savior, you know the truth, you know his redemption power, you now have the responsibility, after you came and saw, to go and tell. Because now that we're personally involved with him, we're part of his family. We're part of his team. And so he's called us to himself. So he tells us, go and tell. It's important words and a great command. Such important words that after the resurrection, Jesus walked the earth for another 40 days. He was seen of many. He's seen of hundreds, over 500 at one time, teaching and building the faith of his people. Understand, when he resurrected, he hung around for a while. He was ready to go back to glory. But you know what? He's still doing his work. He stayed on earth to encourage his people. Can you imagine being scared that you saw him be tortured? You saw him hang on that cross. Now you've heard people say he rose. But now he shows up to you and says, my child, I love you. Would that encourage you to go forward in obedience? That's what he did. He walked this earth for 40 days. And now it's time for his ascension after 40 days. It's time to go back to the throne. It would be the last time he's seen on earth until his return. That has not taken place yet. So look what Jesus himself says to us. At the end of Matthew 28, after the angel told these ladies, go and tell, look what Jesus says as he's departing earth. Go down to verse in chapter 28, Matthew 28, go down to verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, just like the angel commanded those ladies to go and tell, Jesus, as he's leaving earth, after he fulfilled the payment, the redemption plan, he tells you, go and tell. Don't sit and be selfish with what you have seen and the work that God has done. Now be his light, his messenger, his ambassador. We have the privilege of a relationship with God. We have a privilege of being saved from our sins. Only if you place faith in Him. We have the privilege of knowing the Savior, Jesus Christ, through His Word and through His Spirit. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you had a time that you placed faith in Him and called on Him for salvation? You turned from your sins to Him? If not, I'd love to show you after church how you can be saved. Just hang out. We'll go in private. I'll show you not what I have to say, but what the Word of God has to say. That you too can be adopted into His family. You can be saved from your sins. He paid the price for you. Have you done it yet? See, this privilege that we have comes with a responsibility. Come and see, go and tell that Jesus is alive. So the first question as we get ready to close is, do you personally know Jesus? Have you accepted His payment for your sins? He makes it simple. All you have to do is believe. Place faith in Him. Because when you believe in Him, you'll confess your sinfulness. And He says you will call out to Him for salvation. Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what you deserve. But if you do know Jesus, will you fulfill your calling to go and tell? Will you make sure others know? Will you carry the message? And if you have come to see Jesus and met Jesus and walk with Jesus, you know that today we celebrate an old happy day, don't we? This is a happy day. Not because we're at church and it's the right thing to say. But you know what? I will never meet what I deserve because Jesus took it upon Himself. Jesus took an old, ugly weapon of death and He used to give life. And if you never called upon His name, never placed faith in Him, I'd love to show you again how to be saved. But if you are a child of God, together, let's fulfill God's call to go and tell. Let's reach our neighbors. Let's live it out before Him. Let's let Him know that we truly believe that He is alive and well. And so therefore, I can live happily. I can live with peace and with joy. Why? Why can I have peace and joy? Because He lives. Will you stand with me? We're going to close in a song that we're very familiar with, just singing two verses of Because He Lives. The words will be behind us here. And as you sing it loud, that you believe that Jesus Christ lives. And because He lives, I know I can face tomorrow. I know I have a purpose today. I have a calling today. Why? Not because I did anything good, but because He lives. serve an awesome God.